Ladies and gentlemen, jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and the Hagman Report, coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in Northwest Pennsylvania. Thanks for joining us. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us. We have a great program lined up for you. Coming up here shortly will be Kate Daly from Kate Daly Radio. You can listen live to Kate Daly 1 to 4 p.m. Mountain Time, Monday through Friday. Do the math for your own particular time zone, but she's on Kate Daly Radio. It's the Fox affiliate, and right on top, right at the tip of the spear of many important issues. Really, a great talk show host, a great source of information. If you haven't listened to her at all, definitely go to Kate Daly Radio. That's katedalyradio.com, and there you'll find just an array of topics that she's discussed over the last couple of days. And you can go to her SoundCloud as well and expand on that, but follow her. She's got a lot of great information. I want to thank Global Star Radio, where we broadcast live as well, for carrying us, and BTR Blog Talk Radio, all for your belief and trust in us. Thank you so much. It's been a long week. I don't know about you guys, but man, doesn't it seem like a long week? Oh my goodness, it has. But having said that, the Independence Day holiday is coming up next week. That's a good thing. And of course, celebrating this country's independence. But are we truly independent as people? You know, how much independence have we lost here over the last 20, 30, 40, 100 years? I would say a lot. Would want everyone to think about that during their festivities next week. But having said all of that, folks, visit our sponsors, Eva Greenovative. Don't forget about the contest with Greenovative. You've got...
Yeah.
And
just on that real quick.
Go ahead.
Alan Riggs from Greenovative has put together a contest. What you do, folks, if you want, send emails to Alan Riggs or send them to the studio, and I'll forward them to Alan, because I know we've gotten some of the emails.
Studio at Hagman and Hagman.com.
Yeah, studio at Hagman and Hagman.com. Write a short piece about when you needed power and you did not have it, and you will be entered to win one of several of Alan Riggs' Greenovative.
Yeah, some
great power packs that have everything that you need for recharging batteries, and all the details are on greenovative.com, and we'll have more on that later.
Yeah, so some really great things. I'm amazed, folks, at what's happening with the corporate media on the progressive side. MSNBC, they're losing their minds with little they have left of theirs. You had Chris Wallace, somewhat suggestive of Kushner being taken out, that is, murdered. How can they get away with this? You know, it's interesting, because also if you go on Drudge, you'll see three back-to-back headlines. Matthews is one. And then, of course, a man accused of threatening to kill a lawmaker rattles off Republican names in a courtroom outburst. Yeah, that's, you know, typical today. In the wake of the Scalise shooting, the shooting in Alexandria, Scarborough, of course, Joe Scarborough. Joe, I got two words for you. Lori Klozoutis. Remember? Again, every chance I get, I'm going to remind you, Lori Klozoutis.
You know, a lot of people are...
In case you don't know, that's the...
Right, that's the intern in 2001 that was found with her skull bashed in.
But it was
on his office floor, and shortly resigned. He resigned shortly after that. One thing I just want to say about all this president tweeting stuff with Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, it's kind of funny to me to see these
funny
ironic to see these so-called, you know, journalists who aren't even really journalists talk about, you know, what's presidential and is Trump doing something that degrades the office of the presidency by tweeting and issuing personal attacks. I'll say no, he's not doing anything wrong. And for these people who sit there and lie about him day after day, 99% of the stories they cover are negative and they aren't even true to begin with, for them to name call and try to associate him with being a hater and a racist under the guise of their journalistic integrity, the only journalistic integrity they have, it's even an insult to actual journalists out there, because all these people do are they're paid millions of dollars to continue to spout off talking points directly from George Soros, Barack Obama, Eric Holder, and Hillary Clinton that are furthering destroying this country. That's what these people do. These people are paid to destroy this country. And for them to out of one side of their mouth for the last year, just name call, lie, and tear him down and try to bring the presidency down. And more so than that, I take it as a personal attack, because it's not that they hate Donald Trump and hate, it's his agenda that they hate, and they hate his supporters, the American people, us.
Well, I think they hate him too.
Well, they do because he's the face of it. But their hate is more aimed at the people who support him and the agenda he supports. But for these teleprompter readers who call themselves journalists to talk about integrity of any position, professional position, is a joke. Because first and foremost, these people aren't journalists. They're paid talking heads and they're paid to spread dissent and hate and lies and further divide this country. So, if these are the same people that defend Islam and terror attacks, then if they're talking bad about Trump over this, he's doing something right.
Yeah, I would think so, and I agree with you on that. And I'm glad to see some fire in your gut on that, because more often than not, it's me with the fire in the gut, and it's unpleasant. Mika Brzezinski, how dare you? How dare you speak of our president that way? You know, had we spoke of Obama that way, the guy who believed you walked walked on water, apparently. We certainly couldn't have gotten away with that. And Lori Clazidis Scarborough, how dare you as well? And they also had a couple of others appear on MSNBC. I'm not even going to give the name recognition to these mopes that appear and are nothing more than schoolyard bullies. But we're seeing this. But see, we're seeing this. We're seeing this develop. We're seeing this hatred increase. We're seeing the ideological chasm widen and deepen. We're seeing seeing a lot of things take place that I never thought would take place in my lifetime, however short that might be. But it's crazy. But we've got Kate Daly coming up, and the Kate Show on the Blaze, by the way. And she's got a fantastic radio show. Tune in Monday through Friday. Mountain Time, by the way. And let me get this. 1 to 4 Mountain Time. You can hear her. It's a fantastic show. I was listening to her today, and I had a laugh out loud. She said, going on Hagman Report today, no idea what I'm going to talk about. When I go this week, InfoWars, I had no idea what I was talking about. I don't know. Just show up. And I guess, they'll let me know when I get there. And a few other shows as well this week for me. We have Kate with us?
Kate,
yeah, we do.
Hey. How are you guys?
Good.
I missed you.
I mean, I'll tell you what. It's great to see you.
Just some housekeeping real quick, Kate. Sure. Apparently, I don't know if you're coming on video or not, but we're not seeing the video.
Oh.
Let me try and fix that. I'm a little challenged in this area, I have to admit, guys. Not my forte, so I'm working on trying to get this up for you.
Okay.
And I really apologize.
No worries.
I'm also losing my voice. It's been a long week of radio, as I'm sure you can probably imagine.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm so happy to be here, though.
Well, we're happy to have you. And if the video doesn't come up, it's our loss. But, oh, hey. We have liftoff.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. This is good.
I'm a little weathered, you know. It's the end of the week, guys. It's a Friday. What can I say?
Oh, yeah. Man. Kate, let's just pick.
You guys look great. Look at you. You look hot. What are you turning around for? You guys look awesome.
I didn't know if you were talking about us or not. Well, thank you. No, seriously. You know, we should just kick. It is Friday. Kick back, relax a little bit.
Absolutely.
And let's just have a conversation. You had a great week this week. You covered a lot of ground. I kept getting. I caught you like. I listened to you on archive. So, you know, I'm kind of out of order. But you covered a lot of stuff.
I'm out of order on the daytime show too, and it's the you can go to katedallyradio.com and catch a live stream of the show each day, and I do two different shows, and I'll tell you it's a lot of fun, and I'm constantly going down the rabbit hole, and I know you guys are too. It's addicting. I love it. I was up till 4 a.m. last night going down the rabbit hole again, and there's just little things, right? They just draw you in, and you just have to just figure out the rest of the story, and there's just something about that I'm just so addicted to, and I there's just so much to uncover and expose, and I think that's why we love doing what we do.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And folks,
I'm gonna smack that rabbit, by the way. If I ever catch it, I'm gonna smack it.
And folks,
give it a Valium.
Some of the archives, our producer John Robertson was just on Kate's show.
Yeah,
he was great. Yeah. He's fabulous.
Just a few weeks ago. So guys, check that out. That was a great interview.
Yeah,
we listened to it while we were in studio. Here. And it was fantastic.
It was fun.
He's always fun. He's always great. Has a lot of good information too, because everybody wants to know what's going on in Hollyweird, and we should know what's going on there, because they're delivering our entertainment, for Pete's sakes. And so we've got to know what's happening. And there's so much going on in the world. I mean, abroad and with our money situation, our economy right now, and I mean, honestly, isn't there 20 topics you could tackle every hour? And it's just trying to pick which one?
You know something, I got an email from someone. Oftentimes, we'll have a guest on, and I'll say, where do you want to start? And the email I got was, individual says, well, you know, that shows you haven't done your homework. No.
Yeah, unprofessional.
It's like, we did a lot of homework. I just don't know where to start.
exactly.
You know.
But, so, it's so true, though.
Oh,
it's hard. It's hard to know. You know, I was jumping down. Do you have a few minutes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Come on. Sit down. Let's grab a cup of coffee.
Okay. I was jumping down a rabbit hole the other night, and a while back, I had read the assertion. There was an assertion made that the IMF owned the Federal Reserve. And I thought that's a little curious, because what's out there for the public consumption is that the Federal Reserve owns the IMF, right? And they're always pushing that narrative, and they're pushing the fact that the Federal Reserve basically owns everything else. And the United States is always in charge, okay? So consumer confidence is up because the Federal Reserve owns it, even though the federal is not federal nor a reserve. We all know this. So this was interesting. So I started kind of jumping down that rabbit hole just a little bit. And we all know what happened back in 44 Nations at Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, July 1944, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the World Bank was established, and that was to make long-term reconstruction loans after World War II and development loans. And the IMF sort of sprang up, okay? And at the same time, the BIS, or BS, but BIS, let's just be fair, BIS, Bank of International Settlements, was the big bad bank, and they were the big global bank. And the narrative out there was that the U.S. government had a historical distrust of the BIS, which we know was BS, because we didn't have any kind of distrust, but that's what was out there. So let's buy that as the narrative. So we go onto this conference, and out springs the IMF. And all of a sudden, this new development of this global banking institution develops, and the BIS is still there. That's the banking institution, the banking settlements, which is in Switzerland. But we have all of these different sort of like a conglomerate of different banking sort of global entities, okay, if you will. And so here we have a situation where the Federal Reserve, back from 1944, we say owns the IMF. And so I thought it was kind of interesting, because I could never find anything. And I thought, that's kind of weird. Never find anything. So I was looking at the Federal Reserve website. And this is kind of interesting. And I thought, okay, so I get down to the bottom. There's 18 solid pages on how they're promoting and selling us on promoting world financial stability, how they have to be in the world financial markets. 18 pages of this globbity-gook. So you get down to the bottom, and they're discussing all the global markets. And I found this to be kind of interesting. They discuss each one in detail and their relationship to them. And when they're discussing G7 and G20, they're saying they engage on a regular basis with them. When they talk about Financial Stability Board, they say we have enhanced cooperation. When they talk about the BIS, they say we participate in deliberation. When they talk about central banks, they say we cooperate with. But when they get to the IMF, they say we report to. Doesn't that kind of sound like boss? I thought that was really interesting. Because if they actually do own the Federal Reserve, I thought that's kind of a different twist on things that maybe public for public consumption, that would sort of lead to a whole host of other problems. Not that the Federal Reserve has its own problems already. If the public was really aware of how unconstitutional it is right now, but then take that another step further to the complete unconstitutionality of it being owned by a global entity like that, where they're basically calling the shots. That would be very interesting. Do we still owe income tax? I don't know. So I want to draw that conclusion and then also draw the conclusion about how cavalier the IMF was when all the money disappeared out of our accounts in 2008 and 2009. It's kind of like if you owned a home and the renters stayed a little too long and you won them out and you were a little cavalier about saying, it's my house, get out. Because they are in the loan business. What the IMF does is they don't rescue people. They basically are the mafia. So what they do is they go into a country and they say, you take our multi-gazillion dollar loan, and if you don't, we're going to make you the big bad dictator that gasses his people. We're going to tell everybody you're the mortal enemy. We're going to come in, take you out, kill you, and put in somebody that will play ball with us, and you're either going to take our loan or you're going to do that. And if you don't do that, well, you're out. And so they have all the muscle, all the mafia behind them. They're it. They're the global elitist banking situation in the globe right now. And I find it very interesting that it's downplayed a lot, and that over here the narrative propaganda line is that the Federal Reserve is more in charge, when we know it's not. And they were very cavalier about the fact that we had money disappearing out of our accounts and oops, sorry, too bad. You know, too bad everybody went broke. Darn. And when you start to sort of look at everything maybe through a different light or a different lens, it becomes very interesting. Yes, and so those are the rabbit holes I go down.
I love that.
And no, it is very interesting. And when we think about, you know, the politics in this country and the political theater that we have with the media and the left and the right and the constant, you know, divide and conquer tactics, that's one of the primary reasons that they continue to employ these tactics, is because if everybody came together, putting the political ideology aside and focused, you know, their energy and the real enemies of this country, which are the, you know, the global banking cartels, they would have a real problem. But you're exactly right. It is just like the mafia. They do, construct and deconstruct nations based on their monetary policy and who will play ball with them. We saw that with Gaddafi. We see it with Assad. We're seeing it with Iran and also with North Korea. And unfortunately, the majority of the people, 95% of the people in this country, don't even understand that the Federal Reserve is not federal and is owned by an international conglomerate of gangsters.
Oh, you're so right. And, you know, the BIS was, basically owned by 8 families, right? Those 8 families controlled the central banks, almost all the Western developing nations. But and of course, the Rothschilds are at the helm. I think the Rockefellers are more of the, I don't know, kind of a little bit more of the gopher involved, but the Rothschilds are at the helm of most everything. So it is interesting when you get into what is owned, how they own it, and all the different facets that they can control and do control, and then pass off as something else. And so whenever we're led to believe that something else is in charge, always look the other way. It's like squirrel, you know, always go to the other side of the spectrum, because that's where you're going to find something. Like right now in matters abroad, what are they not talking about? You know, what are they not talking about? We're not, well, China came up today, but we haven't been talking about Turkey as much. We haven't been talking about China as much. I always try and go to the countries that we're not bringing up in the news as much, because usually there's something happening there that we need to be aware of.
Venezuela is a great example of this. Yeah. You know, the socialist utopia that is Venezuela, you know, continues to deteriorate day by day. Protesters are being shot in the street, and you barely ever see it in the media. Yeah, well, Illinois is headed right down that same path.
But should they divide it up? Do you think all the neighboring states will take a piece? Who's going to get Chicago?
I think they'd paid not to have it before they'd take it in.
Yeah, that's the stick nobody wants in the draw. I've often wondered, I posed this question the other day, what if California, Hawaii, Oregon, and Washington sort of wanted to drift out on their own and become their own country? So we kind of led that one step further. Okay, so obviously they're going to run out of other people's money. They're going to go broke, and we all know that, because obviously their system doesn't work. So then what? Okay, what if China comes in and owns them? Do we want China on our border? Because that's what would happen. So then what? You know, and how would America feel about that? And what would we do? What would you do? How would you feel about part of the United States going away and possibly being owned by another country?
Yeah, that's why I was never really enthused about that secession idea for a lot of reasons, that, of course, being one of them.
Minus the secession, China already does own, parts of our country and different states and, federal land and all kinds of crazy stuff. But to have it on the books like that, yeah, it would pose a huge national security concerns, and I don't think it would be allowed to happen.
They'd call it China Forna.
Indeed.
Right? It'd be overt, in other words.
Man. You were talking about Bank of International Settlements and the IMF. What really got me was the Exchange Stability Fund. I don't know how much, if you've gotten into the Zero Hedge, I believe, did a, or posted a series, I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago. Five video segments. Have you seen that by chance?
I haven't. I'd be intrigued.
Yeah, you want to talk about that? Just
it's a must be, huh?
Oh yeah, you know that rabbit hole is one you're gonna be seeing.
You're gonna keep me up till 5 a.m. again.
Exactly. The Exchange Stability Fund appears to be the mechanism that. The simplest way I know how to describe it would be the mechanism that funds all of our black projects. And if it's, I'll send you the link because Zero Hedge Exchange Stability Fund and have fun. Yeah. You'll be up for days.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah.
I appreciate that one. I owe you.
Folks, we're talking with Kate Daly, Kate Daly Radio, the smartest, really the most intelligent woman I know, and the most intelligent. I'm serious. You've got more. Your research, your programs are fantastic.
They really are. They're very. I'm a very. Yeah, the content's great, and I love the flow of the show.
Oh yeah.
A few times, me and him together have sat there and listened to the show. What the last one we listened to together was the. We were listening to it in the office in there.
Yeah.
About Seth Rich and a number of. I forget who it was that was on your show. It was some investigator.
I've got 9 co-hosts, and they are the secret sauce of the show, no doubt. They are amazing. Dave. I'm so lucky to have them. So,
yeah, I think
it
was Dave.
Investigator Dave. Yep. Yeah, he's fantastic. Yeah. So I got all these great people that I surround myself with, all these smart people, and they come on the show, constitutional expert Chris Ann Hall, and all kinds of just genuine, just amazing people that just want to tell the truth. And I own the show, which is different because a lot of people out there don't have that opportunity, you know. We are all in a unique circumstance to tell the truth. And I don't know if people realize how unique the opportunity is to do that. And I feel like I'm in a special club, special place to do that. And I throw myself into the work because my gosh, we have a lot of exposing to do, and we have to educate America. I have a lot of optimism in America. Here, July 4th is coming. Lots of optimism. Because if we can educate America, if America becomes very aware, then America has the courage to do something. It takes faith, and it takes education, and then courage. And we just have to go through those steps. And so, we can get there, but we just need to start telling the truth. And that's why I love what you guys do. I'm just a huge fan. So what can I say?
Thank you. And we're fans of yours as well, Kate Daly Radio. And that's 1 to 4 Mountain Time. And you're also the Blaze.
Blaze Show. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The Kate Show. Yeah.
All right. But everyone can go, katedalyradio.com is the place to go for mm-hmm. everything.
And you can catch it 11 o'clock Mountain Time at night, too. So it replays and hooks right in. I'm on a Fox News affiliate, which is kind of crazy. So maybe they don't listen. I don't know. Anyway, but I'm in Chicago and Tampa and Denver and about to go into about 43 more cities. And what I love about it is we'll say things and it's like, wow, we just said that out loud. But that's the problem in America. We should be able to say everything out loud and with vigor. And, you know, the person that said you can't talk about, politics and religion, that's exactly the problem. We should have been talking politics and religion for a very, very long time in this country. We wouldn't be in this mess.
Amen. I second that. Kate, we have a network break coming up, 3 minutes, enough time for you to get some tea with a little bit of honey and lemon. I'll fix it for you if I could.
Folks, go to Kate's website, katedalyradio.com. That's katedalyradio.com.
Right
there.
Kate
Daly. Okay, I'm sorry, Kate Daly.
Yeah. Are you all right?
It's Friday.
Did you just...
on the?
You okay?
Folks, if you're watching on YouTube there, you can see the front of her page, and there are all the links to listen to the show, meet the co-host, advertise, and so much more. I like the phrase, be faithful and be fearless. You have to be in this day and age with what we are up against. Folks, we'll be right back after these short messages. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced, Blue Week Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Hagman and the Hagman Report. HagmanReport.com. John, our producer, says he's got to class it up. And I said, how do we do that? And he said, Kate Daly. So here we are. We're classing it up tonight with Kate Daly. Intellectually, Kate is just a great talk show host. KateDalyRadio.com. Go there. So exciting that she's going to be expanding into... I think she said 4,330 cities.
No, 43. Man, yeah. I love 43,000. No, I'm just kidding. 43, yeah.
That's amazing. Cool. But so cool. Behind the enemy lines, though.
So, yes. Well, so. Yeah. Liberal country.
I know. But seriously, folks, Kate Daly Radio, and catch her program Monday through Friday. It's a fantastic program. She's got 9 co-hosts. It's extremely, it's just a great show. There's a segment up today on your website about John McCain, his big lie.
John McCain.
Let's talk.
What is going on with John? It's like John McCain and Nancy Pelosi are interchangeable. They could be the same person. They could be twins separated at birth at this point. I don't even know what they're doing. They're both nuts. So the Senate the markup of the Senate committee bill came out. And this is really scary. And I want people to understand the biggest lie ever told for money. Because we all understand what just happened with Comey. Correct?
Yep.
So we all know that there's not one shred of evidence for Russia collusion for the election. We all get it. We all know it. The whole world knows it. And so this is the deal. 2018 Pentagon funding bill. So this has basically gone through committee and now it's going to go to Senate. $705 million to Israeli cooperative missile defense programs. $588 million increase from the budget request. But Here's the main crux of this thing, which I find rather, well, it's completely appalling. So McCain comes out and he basically talks about this bill and says that Russia is a threat to our democracy, that they have colluded, that they inserted themselves in the election, and now there is reason to put what's estimated as 15,000 troops and more equipment and a ton more money, $105 billion, on the Eastern Front permanently, because they have colluded, and this is the deal, and it's wrapped up in a bow, and I guess he has information that nobody else on Earth has. And you know, what's interesting about this is he lies to get the cash to put us over into Russia and says that they are aggressive and that they have threatened our value system. I guess we should just play the song Feelings, because I guess they threatened our feelings. I don't even know what that means. I threatened our value system? Okay. And so we're supposed to, I guess, retaliate now with a, I don't know, maybe a full-blown war. So they have to spell out in the budget what they're going to do. And so he's saying, okay, permanently we're going to be putting people on the ground over there. We need 15,000 troops and all this ammo and all of these tanks and all of this stuff. And we're going to put it over there. And we're also going to arm the Ukraine with more weapons. And this is what we're going to do based on the fact that we know that Russia did this. And I'm sitting here just a little befuddled, because everybody in the world knows that there's not a shred of evidence. So my question is this, and this is what people should be asking. Why aren't the senators coming out and saying, you're lying, McCain. Why are you lying to get this money padded into this budget? Why are you lying and saying that this is the truth when we all know, everybody that has a brain cell or at least a brain stem at this point in America or around the globe, know that there's not one shred of evidence? Why isn't anyone pointing this out? If you want to understand what collusion is on both sides of the aisle and how they pat each other's backs and play the same end game, here's a perfect little example of that. I can't even wrap it up in a bow tighter. It's, there you go. If people were worth their salt in the Senate or in the House, they would immediately jump on this and point it out. Immediately.
Yep, exactly. And the, that does beg the question, why hasn't it happened at all? Yeah. It's the uniparty, of course, and John McCain being the neocon that he is. Just follow the money, though. I mean, we're talking about the money, and of course, who benefits at the end of the day? Who does benefit? Of course, it's that military industrial complex that Eisenhower warned about.
That's pathetic.
You know. So, but by doing so, okay, provocative, no, with respect to the positioning.
Yes, and it is, and it's like, we want this. We've wanted this for a really long time, and we don't care whether the evidence panned out. We don't care what was said. We're going to do it anyway. No one's going to question it. No one's going to stand in our way. And we're going to get the money we need, and we're going to go over there, and we're going to stir up trouble, and we're just going to make it happen. The American people should be demanding better and more and explanations on these things, and not taking this from people like McCain. The fact that people like McCain get back into office, can you say bought and sold any more than a McCain, a Pelosi, a Hatch, Feinstein? This is the pinnacle of bought and sold. You sell your soul in this office, and I think it's so pathetic. And what's funny is it's the elephant in the room, and it's the elephant in the room known around the globe. I don't understand why we keep doing it, unless it's just major voter fraud, which I've talked to John Rappaport so many times about the voter fraud machines and all of, 30 some odd states. I get it. But wow, they keep going back in. It's just a shocker.
You know, it seems like, I always wondered about the amount of money it costs you to run a campaign versus the money that you get as a salary, and even with the perks, just doesn't make any sense to me.
You know, me neither. In fact, I did a show the other day, and I asked my co-host, I said, do you know who the second highest paid person in government is? And he said, who? And I said, it's the Postmaster General. You can lose $600 million a year, but you get paid $300,000 a year as the Postmaster General. It's so screwed up. I mean, the whole thing is just such a mess. But the salary, the perks. You know what's funny about the race that we just won, right? The conservative side just won. Mm-hmm. I found that to be very, very interesting that nobody was questioning the money involved. Nobody questioned how many millions the other guy spent.
Most expensive house race in U.S. history.
Yeah, they just said, well, this is what they spent. Doesn't anyone question that? Are we not asked more questions? Come on.
Exactly. Yeah. You're exactly right. You know, it's, yeah, no, it, you're 100% right. And you said a couple of things about Russia. You mentioned that. I was listening to Sean Hannity last night, he had on a number of people, but six major scandals that the mainstream media is not covering. You've got the James Comey memo leak and possible Federal Records Act violation. Incredible. You have Loretta Lynch's potential obstruction of justice and Hillary Clinton's uranium or email scandal.
You have John Podesta, who testified behind closed doors in front of the House Intelligence Committee just yesterday, I believe it was, or the day before.
Closed doors, isn't that interesting? Yeah.
And then Susan Rice, she's going to be testifying also behind closed doors in the coming weeks to the Senate Intelligence Committee about the unmasking controversy. So again, it looks like the public's going to be left out in that one. And when we talk about, when we look at all these investigations that they have on Trump and the collusion or the hacking or the meddling or the probing or whatever the word for this week is. None of it has any basis in fact whatsoever, nor has it produced any evidence. But you have actual actionable intel and real crimes on the other side through a lot of these investigations, and the media is silent about it. Sure. And I mean, these people are not objective. They're gatekeepers for the elite in this country, and it's going to take independent media like you and like us and many others and citizens journalists out there to, you know, push for these things and to get that.
Joe, if I can ask you, Kate, what'd you think about the Project Veritas video of Van Jones and the other mope from Atlanta saying that Russia is just for ratings, basically?
Is it for ratings? They want to make something of it. But you know what's funny, though, is they're so stuck on the high school exchanges between Trump and between CNN talking heads, between they like the Russia story because the Russia story could have legs if they wanted it to. You know what I mean? It's always this sort of elusive story that could be. And so they love that. But what I find kind of funny is, as a woman, you know, Trump says somebody has a nice smile and everybody goes berserk. And women are funny creatures. You know, it's like, look at me, but don't look at me. But look at me, but compliment me, but don't compliment me. Only compliment me when I want you to compliment me. I mean, we're so weird. And so these women livers, they can't make up their minds. They don't know when they want a compliment, when they don't want a compliment, and from who and not from who else. And so, you know, that's the stuff that they want us to talk about. That's the stuff they want all of America to be talking about. And it's because it's easy. It's low-hanging fruit. And the low-hanging fruit has always been sort of the woman card. It was kind of like the Susan Rice thing the other day on the front headlines. I don't know whether my victim card is black or woman. And so I thought, well, you know, I'd love to pick my victim card. And I think that we get so caught up in that low-hanging fruit that's so easy to argue about, and it's so easy to just end up with these silly, silly, gamey argument, weird arguments that we never get to the substance. And that's why I like the shows that you and I do, is because at least we're getting to the substance and the education behind what's going on in America. But that Russia story has been invented from the very, very beginning. If anybody has Russia ties, it's been all of government from the very beginning. And I think it's just so funny because I know Russia's just kind of laughing because they've all had ties to Russia. Hillary's had ties. Podesta's had ties. Obama had ties. They all have had ties. I mean, doesn't everybody remember when Obama was ensuring them that in the second election that everything would be a little more flexible? So they all have ties. That's why it's just such a funny game. And so what do? They chase the elusive story now as if it's going to suddenly grow legs, and so they're going to make sure that they're on it when it does. That's so funny to me. It's like, what is that? What is that that animal that they made up, the jackalope? Is that what it is? The jackalope that everybody picks up, you know? It's like chasing the jackalope. I mean, it's just so funny to me. You know what? Media will fall. CNN will fall because nobody trusts it. And even, I don't even think a liberal can trust it anymore. And it needs to fall. Banking needs to fall. Media needs to fall. They need to feel the consequence of their actions. And if they don't, they never learn. And so we've got to let Illinois fall. We've got to let them feel the consequence of their actions.
True. Very true.
You know, we're a nation that doesn't like to feel anything. You know, we just don't want to have to feel the hurt, but we're going to have to. So,
yeah. With the midterm elections coming up in 2018, you know, you just mentioned the Georgia election, and the talking points are that, you know, the Republicans are 4-0 in these special elections. Mm-hmm. And I get this sense that to some Republicans, even some of the Never Trumpers, you know, they feel that this is a perfect time for them to be able to expand their power even more so than the hold they have on the House and Senate now. My concern is that I believe, you know, just because the Democrats have been decimated as a party, have no solutions or ideas to run on, and you know, have been basically anti-American, that people are going to maybe just vote for Republicans for the sake of voting for a Republicans. What are some of the things that we can do to get real people to run for office regardless of Democrat or Republican, but real non-political people. Even Donald Trump is a good example of never being a politician and winning that election. But what are some of the things we can do to get the right candidates in there, regardless of the party lines?
Okay, it's a great question. In fact, I begged people locally, even in my home state, to actually put forth a poster that would say, all I'm going to do is sit in office and repeal things. I'm never going to pass a bill because a million pass a year nationwide, and we don't need any more regulation. So I'm just going to sit and repeal. And that's all I'm going to do for my paycheck. So I hope you're okay with that. That's the kind of poster I want to see. That'd be a good start. Don't say the words that the country's in trouble and America's broken and I'm here to fix it. And if they say that, everybody needs to just get up and walk out. If we start to train these people on what we're looking for and asking the right questions, then we can try and maybe get to the people that are actually going to have a backbone and not be a complete wuss bag in office, because the second they go in, they completely turn. So we have a problem with healthcare, right? And we have a problem with understanding the difference right now between a Republican and a Democrat. This is the problem. In Georgia, everybody was cheering because the Republican got it. Now, if you look at her record, she's really standard quo. She's no different. She's not really going to do much in there for liberty. She's just going to do sort of the standard quo, which doesn't bode well for us. We've had standard quo for a long time. So I don't have a whole lot of faith in that. It's nice, but it's not great for us and for liberty. So we need people that will actually side with the Constitution. We need people that will actually understand it, have a backbone, and say no and stand up, right?
Right.
So how are we going to get those people into office? Well, first of all, you got to get the people that are in there that keep saying America's broken and I'm going to go fix it and get them out. And you've got to get people that tell you the truth, that say, you know what? And that's going to be hard to do because it's hard to believe because we've been so schnookered in the past, right? It's tough to do. I do think it's doable to a certain extent, but very difficult. Look at healthcare. If you go back to 1971, Nixon wanted mandated healthcare. Both parties wanted mandated healthcare all the way from 1971 all the way through. We have a problem with understanding what a party means. And a lot of times I say, well, my party believes in this. Well, go back in history. You'll find out your party believed in the other thing too. So we have a problem with that. The only clear line that's ever really been is abortion. But then you have to look at who's funding who. Who's funding Planned Parenthood? Who's letting that slide? So not even that is a clear-cut line anymore. I almost think people should run, and then maybe we have like a game where we figure out a year later if it's a D or an R, because this isn't working. I mean, I almost want to have like a dartboard where we actually like throw a dart and say, I don't know, are you a D or an R? Try and figure it out at the end. Because we keep getting sold a box of rocks, and we're not getting it that they have the same end goal. They have the same end goal. That's why we keep ending up in the same spot. Everybody that said the word repeal completely forgot that word now. So we never hear the word repeal anymore. I even pulled up an article from 2010 from dear old, and I mean old, 150-year-old Senator Hatch, who said repeal in 2010, and now he won't say the word repeal. Now they say they have to amend it. See, they just keep changing the language. I don't know who's an R and who's a D anymore. Sad.
And that is sad. In so many ways, Kate Daly is our guest, folks. You know her. What a tremendous inspiration for all of us, especially this time of year. Independence Day is next week, and just to have her as our guest on this Friday night is just tremendous. And I want to just say thank. I want to thank her right now, Kate. I want to thank you so much, just because for your gracious gift of time, Friday night. Before
no place I'd rather be than with you guys, because I love this country, you love this country, and we have optimism. We do. I know you're optimistic, we need to get our faith back. We need God again. We need faith, and we need to be able to get educated and turn this boat around. We can. An educated populace can do a lot.
We're talking about faith. This might be a good time to jump in here and get your opinion on this, Kate. The LGBT movement and the transgender movement, have seen them we've seen them fight and push, you know, to get, you know, these special rights or special privileges, special acknowledgement in the media. And over the last few years, they seem to have gotten that. And now with I don't know if you'd call it with the election of Donald Trump or just the further marching off the cliff of the left. Now it's even worse than that. These people want us to wholeheartedly not only accept their lifestyle, but we must now celebrate it. And if we don't, we are hateful. And they are getting to the point where they want us. They are offended by our religious freedom.
They're the bully.
How do you see this moving forward? Since they've become so militant now, not only to have their agenda accepted in the public, but now they're trying to remove the religious freedoms and the religious conservative agenda out of the mainstream as it being hateful. Do you see them being successful in that?
You know what? Yeah, and let me just tell you a little story. I'm off to California. I'm off to go home. I was actually raised on the beach, raised in California. Not like an animal on the beach, but you get it. Raised on the beach. And I'm going to give myself some credit. And so there was a restaurant I wanted to try, and I'd heard a lot about it, and a lot of the stars go there. And they had a media page when I was visiting it to get directions, and they wanted to know if media was coming. So I said, maybe I should just let them know I'm coming. And so I wanted to make a reservation, and I had heard that it's a little hard to get in there. And so I told them I was coming, and I got an email back the next day. And the guy said, I wish I could pull this up fast, but the guy said, no, absolutely not. You're not eating here. We don't want your kind here. We are a young, informed, people. And, no, absolutely not. You're not eating here.
Get out of town.
Based on my politics. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, see, that would be okay. You know, these are the same people who say, you go into a Christian wedding bakery, right. And because they, you know, the Christians say it's against their religion to bake the cake, they turn mm-hmm. around and get sued and get forced to bake the cake. Yeah. You would have had a good argument to make a case to discrimination there.
Wait a second.
I have the email. Yeah.
But what did they do, a background check on you? They took your reservation?
Yeah, because I'm not asking for a meal. I'm just saying I just wanted to make a reservation. So here's the deal, and I'm going to point a finger at myself right now. Now, conservatives are less likely to be a bully and to stand up and say, you know, now, wait a minute, I'm going to come sue you, and I'm going to out you, and I'm going to have everybody in the country call you, because we're not militant, we're not rude, and we're not that way. We just don't think in those terms.
Right.
So this is the main problem. I didn't do that, and maybe I should, because if we act that way, maybe they back down a little bit. I don't want to become that, though. And so here's the crux of the problem. Conservatives are not speaking out about the bullying. So the bullying just keeps getting worse and worse and worse until we're forced out of the school, right? So that's a problem. Now, I could have stood up. I could have aired the name of the restaurant. I could have had people calling like crazy all across the country. Then what would have happened? Ratcheted up. They could have ratcheted up on their side. They could have started a campaign. It could have gotten and spiraled completely out of control. And I know that. So what did I not want to do? Walk into the bear's cave. I don't want to play with them because they're kind of atrocious. I don't want to play with people like that. So I had to make a decision, and my decision was to back off and just let them be ridiculous and dorks, right? So what do we do as conservatives? So I'm asking you guys, what do we do in these situations? Because the person walks in for the cake, they don't get their way, even though they could go find somebody else to make the cake. They sue, they become militant, they're the bully, you know, they're serving up the crap sandwich. So what are we going to do in this country if conservatives don't stand up? We don't want to become that. What do we do?
Right, and we don't want to become, as you said, employ the tactics. You know, we don't need to get lawyers and lawsuits involved.
But we've got to do something, though.
With a platform like ours or like yours, mm-hmm. you know, in the social media presence that we have, you know, you issue a statement on social media saying, you know, I was hoping to come here, was denied because of my political beliefs, and you know, thanks for the heads up,
though.
Yeah, I mean,
but do you walk into a bear cave knowing that they could spiral it out of control, lie, do all kinds of things, and then you're involved in a situation that spiraled completely out of control? So that's what I was facing, knowing that if I get an email like that the next day, I got to know what they're capable of, and that's pretty lunatic, really. I mean, who does that, right?
Wow.
So that's the problem in America right there. And I'm pointing a finger at myself. That's a problem. And I don't want to lose who we are. I like who we are. And we're not militant, we're not pushy, and we're not that. There's got to be another way we can go about this, and I'm not quite sure what that is in America, but we've got to push back a little bit with this whole culture thing, because I'm not going to lose who we are, and I'm not going to let them bully everybody into submission, because I don't, you know, I call this out all the time on my show, the LGBTQRSVVVUP community, and I'm not going to let them bully us like they do. And so I do call it out quite a bit. I just, on that one, I didn't. So.
Yeah. But well, you know, they've been bullying themselves and cannibalizing themselves as of late. There's been a big rift in the LGBT community between, with this being Pride Month, and a number of marches were taking place where the some pro-Trump LGBT people have not even been able to attend the Pride rallies because of the divide inside that movement. And
but such a small percentage of people are...
Yeah,
are,
it's like 3.7% was the last figure from the...
It's... ridiculously low.
But Kate, low. That question though that you asked, I mean, to me, that is the question of the hour, of the day, of the week, of the month. I mean, what do we do?
What do we do? How do we act?
The Julius Caesar play in New York, when Jack Posobiec and some others interrupted the play a few nights in a row. There were even conservatives who said, oh, you know, that's you shouldn't do that. That's wrong of you to act that way. And so you're right. We do need to find a new approach and an effective one at that.
What's really funny is I did a short segment on a group in Chicago that are training at a park, and what they're training for is to outwit the right wing extremists.
I saw that.
Because we're so dangerous. And I thought it was so funny, because I'm thinking, really? I mean, who has the violent rhetoric? I mean, we're not chopping off heads, you know, fake heads with blood on them. So there you go.
Kate Daly, you know. Thank you so much. We're at the end of the segment. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming on a Friday night.
You guys are awesome. You guys are so fun. Anytime. I love hanging with you guys.
We love that. Yeah, you class the place up, and we really appreciate it.
That's great.
Have a great holiday weekend. God bless
you.
You as well.
You as well. God bless America, really and truly. Amen. We need it.
Yes, we do. Till next time, God bless. Folks, remember, right back. Stay right where you're at. Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly. Yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available, anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smoke. Fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can. For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.